I'm skipping for a second a really important episode with Gollum, because we'll come back to that at the end. I want to talk about what happens after Bilbo escapes the goblins. The next monsters, the next danger they face are the wargs, the evil wolves. I would argue that if you compare the wild, untamed nature of the wargs with the helpful, beautiful, tamed animals of Beorn's Hall, which we see later on, we'll see another example where this class-based analysis worked. The wild, untamed nature is very, very threatening again to the middle class, whereas tamed nature, Beorn's domestic animals, are not. And so that's how you can have the wolves also in there. The spiders and the eagles, who are on the good side, don't actually work very well in this. And I don't think we should be a slave to analysis. On the other hand, because the analysis isn't totalizing, we can suggest that maybe Tolkien's idea evolved and got more complex and wasn't just playing off middle class anxieties. There's a third monster that really works well, though, and that's Smaug the dragon. Smaug the dragon represents a different threat to middle-class Bilbo. It's not a threat from below, like laborers or untamed animals. Instead, it's a threat from above. Smaug is the greedy aristocracy. He even talks in what someone called the rude politeness of the British upper class, where he says things to Bilbo like, "You have nice manners for a thief and a liar," in such a way that Bilbo's not supposed to take offense. Smaug gathers in wealth. He sits on a huge bed of treasure. And unlike the middle class, he doesn't circulate that wealth. He gathers it to himself, leading to the ruin of the economy around him. So Smaug is the old hidebound aristocracy, which is just as much of a threat to the middle class person of Bilbo. This is really important because most other fantasy is aristocratic. If you take a class-based analysis, most fantasy is about the upper classes defending their privilege. The Hobbit is about the middle classes asserting their moral and other kinds of superiority over both the low and the high. That's possibly a reason why it's so powerful. Okay, I don't want to push the class-based analysis so far, so let's set it aside and talk about some other things in the book. The Hobbit taught Tolkien how to use his medieval materials. And in fact, it seems that he got stuck after he'd gotten away from George MacDonald and Princess and the Goblin and the goblins, and he'd gotten his dwarves and hobbit up into the Eagle's Eyrie. He really didn't know where to go. This is after they escaped the goblins and the wolves, but they were stuck with the eagles. And it was then that he thought of Beorn. Now, Beorn's name in Anglo-Saxon means both warrior and bear, likewise in Old Norse. And it seems to be part of what they call the bear taboo, where in many northern languages, you don't say the name bear. It's bad luck. It brings the bear to your house. Instead, you say things like Sweetfoot or the wolf of the bees, which is what Beowulf means. So I think that might have gotten Tolkien thinking about Beorn. He's both a warrior and a bear. And instead of it being just a metaphor for warrior or a metaphor for bear, it is a warrior who can actually turn into a bear. That's where the magic comes in. Tolkien started to think he could use some of his legendary Anglo-Saxon material in the creation of Beorn and Beorn's great wooden hall, which even Tolkien's own illustration looks very much like an illustration from a book about Anglo-Saxon England. They meet Beorn. They make friends with Beorn, another little comic scene where the dwarves arrive one and two at a time, and Gandalf is there also to help. And then they go to Mirkwood, and then Gandalf leaves them, so they have to grow up again. They've had Gandalf to help them before, but now they have to be on their own. And Bilbo keeps coming into his own. Now, I'll also mention that in the Goblin Caves, Bilbo had found the ring. And at this point, all it does is turn him invisible. It's an equalizer. It allows Bilbo to do things that a real hero could do without having to be stronger, bigger, braver than anyone else. So, they leave Beorn, they go through the great forest of Mirkwood, and there they're attacked by the giant spiders, and Bilbo is separated from the dwarves.